Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Honasa Consumer Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pooja Kubadia from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 2Q FY26 earnings conference call of Honasa Consumer Limited. Today on call, we have Mr. Varun Alagh, Co-founder, Chairman, and Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Ghazal Alagh, Co-founder and Chief Innovation Officer, and Mr. Ramanpreet Sohi, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Varun for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hi. Welcome, everybody, to the call for quarter two and H1 FY26. We're going to take you through a few core agendas today. Starting with, again, crystal gazing the future of Indian beauty. We've been talking about different categories, and today we're going to talk about a very different category, which till now isn't considered exactly as beauty. But as we see the developed markets, we're seeing the rise of oral beauty that is happening. And over the next decade, we expect this to shape in India as well. There's a lot of premiumization potential in this category. If you look at the bathroom shelves today, almost all categories from skincare to haircare to fragrances have premiumized significantly. But oral has not seen the same level of premiumization. While this category started with functional hygiene as a stage one of growth, which is what almost 50 years of this category was all about, it moved on to targeted wellness, which is where sensitivity and freshness and the pods that got created. And we believe over the next couple of decades, one of the strong partitions which will get created in this category is aesthetics and aesthetic expression, where your smile will be a core part of your beauty, and how you take care of your smile through oral will be a play that can happen in beauty and personal care. And it's not a small market. We believe this to be a $700 million opportunity by 2030, with the premiumization and rise in aesthetic consciousness. So that's a point of view that we wanted to bring to the table from a high beauty perspective. Moving on to the financial snapshot, we've done well in quarter two with a 22.5% growth in revenues. Our gross profits are at an all-time high at about 71.9%. EBITDA continues to be stable at 8.4%, 48 crores EBITDA, leading to a PAT of 39 crores. Strong UVG at 16.7%, and we continue to be in the negative working capital zone. While this is the like-for-like comparison in terms of what we have been showing you over the last six odd quarters, there is one change in our financial reporting that has happened in this quarter, which is on account of a change from one of our key customers, which is the Flipkart Group. At a group level, Flipkart Group has changed its settlement process with vendors and sellers. We operate as a marketplace seller with the Flipkart Group. And earlier, the way it used to operate was that we as sellers used to have a certain revenue, and we used to remove our discount tax and costs to arrive at our gross margins. And Flipkart as a marketplace used to share with us an invoice for the logistics and fulfillment costs, which is what used to go in our costs. Now, the change that they have made since last quarter is that they're not sharing this cost with us as an invoice. They're actually reducing that from the revenue itself and hence, in a way, charging that to the consumer, which is why the revenue recognition the cost that used to be there. So if you see the calculation that we've shown, for a 100 rupee product, there used to be 32 rupees of logistics and fulfillment cost. Now that 32 is being reduced from the revenue itself, while the rest of the things remain same. So sales commission cost, COGS, etc. remain same. So while in value terms, the net contribution margin or EBITDA from the sample remains same, but the revenue recognition denominator has reduced. In terms of actual financial impact, this has had a 28 crores revenue recognition impact in the quarter to us, but it has no effect on absolute profitability for the company. If we were to see from a like-to-like basis, which is what we have been showing, as our results in the past, right? Our base is 462, our delivery is 566, which is a 22.5% growth. If we were to see this after Flipkart adjustment, our reported for Q2 FY26 becomes 538, while the like-for-like also for the last year's same quarter becomes 440 for comparison purposes, leading to a similar growth of about 22.4%, and the profitability is being same in terms of actual value terms. But of course, if you look at in terms of percentage, because the denominator goes down slightly, the percentage EBITDA will look slightly higher. This is something that the customer has sort of taken a call on for all sellers that sell on Flipkart, right? And hence is something that is an impact on us as well. But we'll continue to share like-for-like based numbers for better understanding and correct comparisons in future as well. At a H1 level, we've delivered 14.5% growth. Gross profit has also improved YOY by 112 basis points, EBITDA margin of about 8%, at a 93% EBITDA impact, at about close to 7% is what we've done. From a highlights perspective, I think the good thing is that the core of strategies that we had talked about at the beginning of the year continued to deliver well for us. I think the first core strategy was to focus on a few core categories and actually gain strongly in those categories. The growth in those core categories is actually much better than the overall growth of the company. The growth now in focus categories is across channels, right? So e-commerce also is 20% plus, modern trade also is 20% plus, and GT also is double-digit significant growth in core categories that we've seen. And from a 70% contribution last year, the core categories are already contributing 75%. And that was on the plan that over the next 4 to 6 quarters, we intend to take this number itself to 84 to 85%, which will lead to strong share ownerships within these categories as well. So that continues to do well. The second thing that we had talked about and was a strong focus area for us was turning around Mama Earth. I'm happy to share that Mama Earth is back in green in terms of growth. With even out need based, both are strong sort of growth for Mama Earth. Now across channels again, earlier e-commerce and modern trade has started showing good growth profiles. Now general trade is also on a growth trajectory in terms of secondary sales YOY. And this is also visible in the share gain that we are seeing based on news, where we continue to gain a YOY share. And we've also been able to build another hero SKU and ingredient for us in rice face wash, which is our third face wash for the brand to enter the 100 crore plus AR plus and continues to grow fairly strongly. So that's something which is heartening for us. We are very confident that now moving forward, this growth in Mamaearth will actually only get better and towards the goal of double-digit growth that we want to get into. Young brands, again, continue to deliver well. 20% YOY growth is what we are seeing on the young brands portfolio. We continue to do the right kind of core category activation and innovation across B-Blood, Dermalogica, Dr. Lion Stays. And Dermaco, which is the larger brand after Mamaearth, is again touching newer heights. The brand has delivered a 750 crore net sales ARR in the quarter with high single-digit EBITDA profile. And basis Euromonitor, it has become the number one sunscreen brand in the country for 2024. We are quite happy to see that. While we continue to strengthen our position in the core categories of face wash, face serum, and sun care, the brand is now looking to build moisturizer and shampoo as categories as it gets in the stage to get to a 1,000 crore plus kind of a brand over the next 1-2 years, which is how we see the brand shaping up as we move forward. We continue to strengthen our general trade distribution. This is another focus area that we have. We have seen sequentially growing secondary sales rate growth, 35% YOY increase in terms of direct outlet billing. Based on Nielsen, now the brand is available in 250,000 plus retail outlets. And very importantly, last year we had taken an initiative to move away from super stockists to direct distributors. Last year, same time, our super stockist contribution was, 2/3, and direct distribution contribution was 1/3. Happy to say that, now, as we stand today, 80% of the business is actually coming from direct distributor contribution. And that's a change which has been hard but necessary and forms a foundation of our growth of multiple brands in the future. So I think we're quite happy with the progress that we've made in this part. R&D in product superiority is another area where we continue to develop new technologies and formulations. We developed deep penetration formula in Dermaco, where we have found the right kind of actives and encapsulation technologies to enhance penetration of our active serums. In Aqualogica, we have developed the first in vivo tested sunscreen with anti-pollution factor. The kind of pollution there is nowadays, consumers not only want sun protection, but something that can also provide protection to them from pollution. And this is a formulation which is clinically tested to do that. So we're happy that we've been able to crack such a technology which is relevant for India. Premiumization is another area where we continue to work. We have collaborated with a lot of influencers, creators to launch more premium ranges. In Be Blunt, we collaborated with Tarini. In Mamaearth, we have collaborated with a dermatologist couple, Dr. Sarins, to develop a Dermasoft range, which is developed by them in line with what they think is right for baby's skin, and launched together with them. And we also continue to strengthen our prestige play within brands. In Dr. Sheth, we have launched multiple prestige serums now with new to India ingredients like Argelene, PDRN, etc. And we continue to do that in future as well. And in overall, we continue to focus on core categories to find avenues to use innovation to gain share within those categories. And across the core categories, we've had relevant innovations which are helping us gain share within those categories. Now that we are feeling confident about the new playbooks, media mix development that we sort of, we have been working on, we've also been now actively looking at, further engines of growth from a long-term perspective as well, and hence actively looking at new brand or category opportunities. The first one that we've been working on for almost 1.5 years now, and we have finally launched last week, is a brand called Lumineve. This is almost, in fact, in the morning, we were just searching and asking ChatGPT if there is any brand in the world that focuses only on night care. The only brand it talked about was Lumineve. So we genuinely believe that this is probably a first world innovation in terms of brand propositions, where a brand that specifically focuses on night care is what we have developed. And beauty sleep as a concept is a very relevant concept amongst consumers. But there is actually deep science behind that concept as well. When you're sleeping, the cellular regeneration and skin repair is at its peak. And this is the time when you, if you take the right kind of night care regimes, you can make the maximum impact on your skin health. And that's the underlying science behind this brand. And we've launched this for 6 different skin types by working with Indian and global dermats. And this has currently been launched exclusively with Nykaa and Nykaaland that happened to collaboratively work and capture the prestige market. We believe this is not just a brand which will take India sort of by surprise, but also probably help us in global expansion as well in future. But this is our first entry into prestige skincare, which is priced almost 2.5 times of what our current products and categories are priced at. Apart from this, we've also made an investment in the future of oral beauty. Like we said, there is rise of oral beauty that we expect over the next decade. And one of the things that we have been thinking about is that the only inorganic play that we were actively doing was by participating with majority acquisitions. And we realized that, that while it's great for categories and portfolios which we want to get involved in high capacity right now, but that also disallows us to participate in Horizon 2 kind of categories which could be additive to our business, but where the founders might not be looking to give away strategic control right now. And that's the opportunity that we are looking at participating in by funding brands like Fang, which are at early stage level, taking a significant minority, helping the founders build the brand into something extremely meaningful. We see Fang to be clearly one of those brands which can become the prestige leader in the country from a oral care perspective. It's a beautiful set of products and a set of founders which come with extremely relevant experience. This is a team that we would like to back, and we would like to support them with the playbooks that we have to build this brand into something larger. And of course, on our goodness initiatives, as our brands grow, our contribution to community continues to grow. And Baba Earth has hit its goal of planting 1 million trees, which we had till 2025. We have taken a goal to plant another 1 million trees over the next 5 years, we are very confident that we'll achieve. And this happens as the brand grows and as more consumers engage with us. And all the other brands also continue to be on their journey of making the community impact as they grow. Thank you so much for your patient hearing. Would love to answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and 1. You may also post your text questions on webcast. Our first question comes from the line of Vidisha Sheth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. So my first question was on Mamaearth as a brand, that while you've mentioned it's back in the green, that seems to be alluding to the secondary sales. So from the primary growth or primary sales perspective, when do you expect the growth to be back in the green?
Primary also is back in green.
Okay, all right. And so going forward, if we were to talk about the next 2 years, the outlook is more of a mid-single digit growth, high single digit growth. And if you can also double down on the initiatives that you've undertaken a little bit more on the elaborate side.
Yeah, so from a going forward, I think the first objective is that, you know, a high single-digit growth in the next quarter and, you know, the objective to touch, get into double-digit growths by Q4 and then try to maintain that as we get into next year. And from a perspective of strategies, I think it's actually been simplification, which is focusing on core categories, sufficiently funding them, rather than, you know, diversifying our investments too broadly into multiple different sort of, you know, categories. Even within those categories, identifying a certain hero SKUs and actually building them more deeper, rather than, again, spreading ourselves thin across categories. So, I think focus is the one big change, and second has been media mix modeling-based learnings that we did on the brand as to what is the best combination of media which works for the brand, and which is a testing that we did over the four to five months and then deployed it this year, and we are clearly seeing the results of that. I think we will continue executing those strategies going forward.
Sure. And second was on the margin side, that given that first half has been better than expectations, are you looking to increase the guidance from the 7% range?
Yes. We believe that we will now stay at least at this range, even in the coming quarters.
Sure. I have a couple more questions I'll get back. Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitin from Emkay. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question. My first question pertains to, like-to-like growth is at around 22%, and when we talk about Mamaearth, it is moved into the growth path, and your younger brands have grown 20%. So somewhere I am unable to get to this 22.5% like-to-like growth. Can you please help?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've been also cognizant that last year, same quarter, we had the Neev piece. So actually, if you look at, you know, just on pure like-to-like basis, Mamaearth growth will be high double digits. And but that's on account of the fact that there is a Neev return base, which is all allocated to Mamaearth. And but even if we were to take that base into account, it's still a positive growth for the brand, and which is why we have kept the commentary more to, you know, more in line with the adjusted sort of, you know, base. But yes, you're right. If we were to sort of, you know, purely look at mathematically, then Mamaearth growth for the quarter is actually in strong double digits.
Sure, this is really helpful. With respect to, like, our actions in terms of getting into the premium segments and in the, like, personal care side plus oral care, any thoughts you guys have around wellness as a category? Because some of the brands are sort of getting into wellness along with the personal care, and that's to work as a regime. Any thoughts you can offer here?
Oh, actually a very interesting area of conversation. I think I will park that for probably more of a one-on-one conversation sometime. So honestly, you're right, and we are observing the trend of wellness adoption, nutraceutical adoptions within the market, and we are also observing the regimen trend happening within consumers. And how we want to take on that, do we want to take on that opportunity in the medium term? Yes, we would like to. How we want to take on that opportunity, will it be as part of our extensions of current brands, or do we need to sort of take it as a separate sort of, you know, play? It's not something that we have a strategic view on as we speak. As soon as we have a crafted view on the same, we will surely share with you. But it's a space which we are very closely watching, understanding, and building a hypothesis around.
Yeah, this is helpful. And lastly, around this oral care again, like, we have taken a 25% stake in this brand. So, like, Would you like to keep your exposure in oral care like this, or like you are open for any further M&A in the oral care space?
Ideally, I don't think we would like to have multiple sort of, brands of play in the space, right? We genuinely believe there are a few partition spaces, right? Especially clean label and whitening, which are the core partition spaces which we believe will get built over the next decade. And this brand already plays in that partition space, right? So we would rather build this into a stronger outcome than get into multiple sort of entries, because it's not like we are seeing multiple partitions actually take shape. So this is in line with the hypothesis that we have, and hence we would rather focus and build this into a much stronger outcome for the brand.
Sure. Just to follow up, as per the contract, is there any options we have down the line, 3 or 5 year, we can increase our stake in this company?
Yes, we have the right, but not an obligation. And we would honestly love that, if the brand does well and we are able to further partner with the brand by gaining more sort of, ownership and investing into the company to for it to grow stronger. And I think that will be the ideal scenario.
Sure, this is helpful. Thanks so much for taking my question. All the very best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sucrit D. Patil from Eyesight Fintrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. I have two specific questions. My first question is to Mrs. Ghazal. Looking beyond the third quarter number, what are the long-term plans for Honasa from an innovation point of view? As consumers' preferences shift towards more science-backed, sustainable and premium products, how are you shaping the innovation pipeline to stay ahead of your competitors? Beyond just new launches, is there a deeper approach that you are building or you will be building in the future, which will make the brand stronger and hard for your competitors to copy you? This is my first question. I'll ask my second question later.
Okay. Hi. So I think on innovation, we've been talking about it, about the focus that we have as a company on two, three areas. One is product superiority, to ensuring that across all of our focus categories, we have products measured through blind test to be superior than the competition out there. That is something that we have showed in the past. We continue to show as we move forward. The second area of focus for us is to bring in newer concepts, newer ingredients, which are first to India. I think Varun also spoke about it briefly. For example, premium serums in Dr. Sheth's has brought in ingredients like PDRN or Argireline, which are first to India kind of ingredients and concepts. We are also working on technologies like a deep penetration technology, which is our own trademark technology, which ensures the efficacy of the product in seasons and also is something new, which no other competitor has. I think on the third front, our focus is also on building a prestige portfolio, which you can see in Dermaco, in Dr. Sheth's, and now with the launch of Luminéve, that also is something that Honasa will continue.
Thank you. My second question is to Mr. Ramanpreet. Again, a forward-looking one. When costs rise, whether it is marketing, distribution, or raw materials, how do you make sure the margins stay steady without the growth hampering? Is there any system you have built that may be like price discipline or smarter sourcing that is helping you keep the profits in line whenever certain unforeseen conditions may arise? Just want to hear your point of view on this particular point. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for that. I think two, three things. Firstly, if you see a gross margin profile, like Varun mentioned, I think we've now averaging 71% 71% plus gross margin consistently. A couple of factors are playing in our favor as we've scaled our business. Of course, given the scale, we are buying better. Our procurement efficiencies are showing. Our product mix, especially led by face categories and also with the entry into prestige categories, is helping pump up our gross margin profile. And as we move along, you know, as we and our younger brands, especially Derma Co, Ecologica, Dr. Sheth's, all of them are face-driven brands, skin brands, and hence our gross margin profile has been moving in the right direction given the mix of those brands. And as the scale improve, you know, we continue to move in the right direction. And of course, you know, as we've showcased this in the first half, as the business continues to scale, we also continue to see operating leverage play out. And a big lever for that has been our marketing efficiencies. And, you know, as our younger brands continue to scale more, we will continue to see efficiencies across our marketing investments. And we've indicated that every year, we target to unlock 50-100 basis points of operating margin profile, which will be a mix of all these initiatives.
Thank you for the guidance, and I wish the entire team best of luck for Q3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jham from HSBC. Please go ahead. Nihal, sir, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Apologies for that. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hi, team. Good evening. I had three questions. First was on Mamaearth. Would it be fair to say that the primary sales are similar to what we would have reported in Q2 FY 2024, that now the brand is back to what it was, say, delivering 2 years back, leaving apart the impact of last year?
Yeah. I mean, we will need to sort of look at that number and come back to you. But yes, over the last year base, it's now in single-digit growth in primary, even adjusting for the basis points.
Sure. I'll check that separately. The second is, Varun, when you commented that you're looking at high single-digit growth for Mamaearth in the coming quarters, that adjusts for the Flipkart impact that will ensue in Q3 and Q4 also, or that's the organic growth ex of the Flipkart impact?
So honestly, the Flipkart impact cannot be seen without adjusting the Flipkart impact in base, right? If you will only take the Flipkart impact in your numerator but not take it in denominator, things will look suppressed, and which is why the financial sort of results will always sort of indicate that suppression. Given in the base, there'll be no correction, but in, you know, future quarters, in general, there'll be correction. So I don't think, you know, you can sort of, you know, we can say कि वो correction के बाद क्या होगा, क्योंकि correction के साथ आपको base में भी correction करके देखना पड़ेगा. And if you look at that with base correction, yes, we are looking at sort of single digit.
Got it. Where I was coming from is that I think you're implying that the organic growth for Mamaearth should be high single digit, just that maybe on a reported basis for Mamaearth, it may optically look over because of the fact that that adjustment right now doesn't sit in the base. So just wanted to clarify that.
Yes. And which is why I think we will continue to release sort of, you know, the comparable numbers and then see it how it is based on the comparable numbers in future as well. The next three quarters till this base is sort of getting corrected.
Understood. One final question. When we speak of the focus categories, which is now at 75, what is the thought process of the other categories that Mamaearth has sort of entered over the last 7 years? Are they status quo, or is it that gradually we plan to sort of exit them and, you know, keep Mamaearth in these six, seven core categories and just three, four more ancillary categories? Like, how do we think of Mamaearth over the next two, three years from the non-core categories, that non-focus categories?
So from our next few years, which is next two to three years perspective, when the focus will be just to sort of, you know, completely focus on the six core categories and strongly grow them. And And of course, the non-focus categories are declining, right? And their contribution hence will continue to go down. And once the brand reaches even stronger scale, let's say the next milestone is 1500 crores, then there is 2000 crores, and even the profitability further significantly improves. And hence, brand has, we have more money to optimally invest in another focus category. And then we will probably look to open one more and say, okay, let's open one more and optimally invest and build that category also. And if, but for now, these six are the co-engines of growth from our next years.
Understood. Very clear. Just a final follow-up, that beyond the sixth category, which will be the seventh biggest category right now for Mamaearth, in case say you plan to activate just for our awareness?
So I would say body is the next biggest one, and which is the body lotion, body wash kind of a category. And from a size perspective,
got this. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and then one. Our next question comes from the line of Akshat Jain from Sixth Sense Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Varun and Ghazal. So I had a couple of questions. Firstly, in oral care, we mentioned that we project the market to touch around $700 million in the next 6 years. But my question is that somehow in the past 10-15 years, even though, you know, social media usage has gone through the roof and other forms of beauty have done very well, oral care somewhat has been left behind. And so how do you look at that going forward? And like, will this continue to be like a very niche concept or will achieve that kind of scale?
So honestly, every category sort of, you know, and trend has its time. And, I think the last decade, there was a lot of skin and hair premiumization, which was already happening and which has, you know, which has taken shape very well, and, as well as the larger disruption from a channel perspective that happened was e-commerce. Now, e-commerce did great for categories where the AOVs were 200 and above. And, but for categories which were 200 and less AOV, it did not make that much impact. Now, quick commerce coming in and scaling and has actually, you know, created the right playground for categories which are sub 100 or sub 200 price points also to get disrupted with quick commerce. And also, you know, clearly, if you look at the developed markets also, like US, etc., and oral disruption has lagged by 10 to 12 years compared to skin disruption in those markets. And, but now there are multi 100 to 300 million dollar brands and, in single partition spaces, which have been built over the last 5 to 7 years. And, we've been watching that space and we think it's now the right time to get in and find a brand.
Sure. And my second question is on Looming Eve. What's our revenue projection or plan for the next 1 or 2 years?
No projections. It's a young brand. It is right now in a build phase. We will build it slowly. We will build it right. And prestige brands need very strong foundations. And, they are not about explosive growth, but foundationally strong bonfire-type conversations. And, of course, the opportunity size and prestige is very large. We believe over the next decade, prestige skincare itself will be like a $4 billion opportunity. And as an organization, it's important that we participate in it as well as build capability in taking share in that market. And otherwise, that sort of, you know, opportunity will get missed out. So that's the core objective. I think it's a decadal opportunity that we see.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Mudit Minocha from M3 Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, great set of numbers. Congrats for that. Wanted to understand what is the next leg of growth going to come for Dermaco, given now it has reached to a stage where Mamaearth has become matured. So are you thinking to take it offline, and how's the growth projection for that particular piece?
Hi, thank you for asking. I think, you know, there is a lot of potential, you know, areas for growth for that brand. Firstly, even in the core categories, like for example, it has got low single digit share in face wash as a category. And hence, there is a lot of potential to grow in face washes. And, we also sort of, you know, are continuing to gain share in sunscreen and serum. So there is potential to grow through that. And we talked about building two new categories, which is moisturizer and hair, right, which in themselves are almost 10,000 crores as a category opportunity. So there is opportunity to add delta by participating in those core categories. And like you rightly said, and there is expansion in the offline that is already starting to happen. And offline for Dermaco is more than 100 crore run rate business now, and continues to grow well. And, so that's the other area where we will continue to sort of double down and engage.
Right. The second question for me would be, what's the economics that's finally getting set for quick commerce business? And follow on to that would be, what's the percentage of sale that you ballpark or qualitative color on what's our share for quick commerce? And which categories do you think are poised for quick com in our portfolio?
So I think let me go reverse, right? From a categories perspective, I think quick commerce has clearly surprised everyone. And it is, you know, it sells all our focus categories, right? From serums to lipsticks, everything is sort of, you know, selling on quick commerce, from small packs to large packs, right? You know, everything sort of, you know, is there. So I think the category opportunity exists for all categories. Of course, it's skewed towards, you know, certain categories like gifting, etc., which do even better. Right? But otherwise, all our core categories sell well on quick commerce. Quick commerce is now about 10% of our revenues already, and is the fastest growing channel for us as we speak. And, from my economics perspective, it's got healthy economics, right? For us compared to our marketplace business, it's actually relatively healthier economics, right? So it's actually a good delta addition that is happening.
Great. Could you also give us some update on that project need that we were conducting, and what's the distributor reach and level, means you were to reach out to 1 lakh distribution points. Could you give some color on what went in last 1 year to turn around Mamaearth, and how are things now looking going forward?
Yeah, like we mentioned, I think that's been one of the strong focus areas, right? It's a combination of what we have done on brand pull and on our offline distribution execution, which has helped us turn around Mamaearth. Specifically on GT perspective, it was all about transitioning from a three-layered distribution system, which involved us selling through super stockists, to a two-layered distribution system where at least in the top 100 cities, we wanted completely direct distribution. And now, in the top 100 cities, we have completely moved direct. And, I think I would say about 85% of the clusters where we needed the right distributor, you know, that job is done. 15% clusters, we're still, as we speak, building that strength. And that should also happen over the next 3 to 6 months, and across the documents that we've talked about. And that has, of course, helped us improve direct distribution. We talked about increase in you know, our secondary direct distribution by 35%. And we also talked about how our direct distribution you know, is now 80% of our billing that is happening is actually happening to direct distributors. So I think that effort is clearly visible in our numbers.
Great. If I could ask one more, operator, if that's okay.
Sure.
I want to understand your thesis around getting into new brands. Even you said in, say, Mamaearth, you want to restrict it only in 6 categories because that brings focus and right amount of investments for each category. Now, when it comes to new brands, we have seen that you have come up with 2 new brands. So what's your approach to getting into new brands, like if there are like 150 crore brands, if you have, what is the continuum that you want to maintain in a business? Because I remember there was one Forest Essentials kind of a brand that you had cultivated and which was then discontinued. So how is the management focus or bandwidth distributed for this new category?
Yeah. So I think firstly, we always look at new opportunities from the lens of consumer white spaces. And when we look at that, I think we look at this category on 3 axes, right? One is the axis of category. Right? For example, skincare is a category, and even within skincare, there could be moisturizers, sun care that are categories. Hair care is a category, fragrance is a category, oral is a category. Even then, the second axis is actually propositions, right? Which is naturals is a proposition, actives is a proposition, hydration is a proposition, right? Salon professionals is a proposition. And the third axis is actually price. And you could be a mass price brand, mass premium price brand, prestige price, luxury priced. If you look at some of the global beauty companies like L'Oreal, Estee Lauder, right, and look at their portfolio, right, you would clearly see how this combination of access comes to life, right? They would have in the same category brands which are varied on price, in the same proposition brands which are varied on price, and or in the same price brands which vary on proposition, and, to capture the maximum share of wallet of the consumer. And that's the strategy that we deploy when we think about new brand creation, which is when we see clearly a white space and where we think that the current brand cannot capture that fully and it needs a separate brand chassis to get captured, which is what we felt, be it on the oral opportunity or be it the night care expert proposition opportunity. And we will look at answering that with a new brand. And if we can answer that same opportunity or white space under the current brand, that is, of course, the preferred route that we follow. Right? And from a management bandwidth perspective, one, internally, we have a function which is called brand factory, and, where we specifically cultivate these brands and build them, and that's a separate function. So we focuses on the 0 to 1 journeys of this brand, and, as well as where we accept that, you know, internal bandwidth might not be enough, and is where we choose routes like what we have done with Fang, which is participation, or what we do with M&A, where we acquire, but then we have 3 years of founders who are working and scaling that brand. And honestly, we believe this is a genuine strength that we have as a company. And there are rarely FMCGs out there which have been able to demonstrate building their own brands and scaling them. And it's largely been an acquisition-based strategy, and we have demonstrated how we can actually craft and scale our own brands as well, and, which in the long term is far more capital efficient. And we will continue to look for opportunities to serve consumers by building new brands in India. Next decade is going to be a mega brand creation opportunities in this country, because a new generation of consumers is clearly looking for brands you know, which design them.
Thanks for such candid answers, and thanks for this thoughtful process that you follow. Looking forward to meet you next.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and then 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Jitendra Arora from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, Varun and team. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just have one question on your colored beauty brand Staze, that how is it progressing? If you can throw some light on that, please.
Hi, Jeetu. Honestly, the progression has been good, right? I think from a brand searches perspective, PMF perspective, the brand is growing triple digits over last year. I think that has been a good sign, right? It's a category which has been a learning for us, right? It's a complex supply chain that we have taken time to learn on. It's a shade-based supply chain. It's also a supply chain where there is some reliance on China supply chain for packaging, and in some cases, conversion perspective. That's been a learning curve in itself, right? Now we are feeling far more confident in terms of being on the better end of that learning curve, right? Where we can deploy consistently and build the kind of the brand grow strongly.
Thank you, Varun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to everyone, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participants, that concludes the conference for today. On behalf of Honasa Consumer, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.